Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Crime and Crime Again is a true crime podcast containing subject matter that may be graphic or disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Hi everyone, and welcome back. We're in season two. This is episode two. For today's story, I'm doing things a little bit differently than I normally do. I am gonna record this one completely unscripted. I'm just gonna go off of my notes, which I generally recorded in order. So I'm not used to this. I usually have a script completely typed out and written, and I know exactly what I'm gonna say. So this is a bit nerve-wracking, but we're going to try it. I am also drinking some wine tonight. I am drinking the brand, it's called Oliver. They have this new blueberry Moscato out. They also have a cherry Moscato out. I very much enjoy both of these, and I highly recommend. Other than that, I don't really have anything else for this intro, so without any further ado, let's get right into today's story. This is Season 2, Episode 2, The Neighbor. As a disclaimer, this is a French case, and I am not French, so I will do my best with these pronunciations, but I cannot guarantee that I will not butcher them. Other than her deadly legacy, there isn't much known about Catherine Monvoisin, otherwise known as La Voisin. She was born around 1640, and she married a man named Antoine Monvoisin. He was a merchant in Paris, and he owned his own shop. However, his business was not successful. He didn't make enough money to support himself and his wife, and his business went bankrupt. So, his wife Catherine supported them by practicing chiromancy and face reading. Interestingly enough, she was also a practicing midwife. Eventually, she also started offering services as a midwife that procured arrangements for abortions for her clients. She did not herself actually perform these abortions, but she connected her clients to people who did. And of course, at the time, abortion was completely and entirely illegal. Catherine developed her fortune-telling business into not just face reading and fortune-telling. She also began making and selling magical potions, making and selling magical objects, arranging black masses, and selling aphrodisiacs. Her most notable service ultimately would become the making and selling of poison. By the late 1660s, Catherine had already become well-known, even famous around Paris, for her services. At her home in Paris, Catherine received clients during the day for, of course, fortune-telling, procuring magical objects, and her secretive service, making and selling poisons. But at night, she entertained Parisian upper class with garden parties. Eventually, she and her husband, Antoine, did start a family, and I believe she only had one surviving child named Marguerite. Catherine herself supported her family, and this included her husband, her child, and her mother. Several accounts claim that Catherine had several lovers. One in particular, Adam Lesage, was a magician who actually tried to convince her to kill her husband. And she was going to do it, but ultimately she changed her mind and apparently she aborted the process in the middle of attempting to poison him. In either 1665 or 1666, Catherine's talents were brought into heavy question by the Congregation of the Mission at St. Vincent de Paul's order. She defended herself and her business before the professors at Sorbonne University, and she apparently did so successfully because she was allowed to continue her fortune-telling business. It's likely that her talents were brought into question because there were many rumors that she was an alleged practitioner of black magic. Many of Catherine's clients had wishes similar to one another. Most were to have someone fall in love with them. Many even were trying to get rid of their spouse so that they could be with someone else. And La Voisin decided to use this to her advantage. La Voisin started offering magical solutions to her clients' problems. So she would create potions and she would imbue objects with magic, according to her, and she would tell her clients that if some action on their part was taken, their wishes would come true. Realistically, many of these potions were actually poisons made to get rid of a spouse on her client's wishes. And eventually she would advise her clients to perform specific rituals with the objects that she supposedly imbued with magic. For those clients who wished for someone to fall in love with them, La Voisin created love powders, and these powders contained ingredients such as toad bones, mole teeth, Spanish fly, human blood, and allegedly the dust of human remains. The most expensive service that La Voisin allegedly offered to her clients were black masses. Black masses were directly based on the Catholic Mass, and in fact were performed as somewhat of a mockery of the Catholic Mass. These black masses were rituals, essentially, that were a magical means to an end. Often they would involve someone lying naked with black candles in hand and presenting a chalice on their bare stomach. La Voisin was said to have conducted these black masses for her clients with a priest. Perhaps La Voisin's most famous client was Madame de Montespan, the official royal mistress to King Louis XIV of France. Montespan allegedly hired La Voisin in 1667, and this was specifically to arrange a black mass. During the ritual, Montespan prayed to win the king's love, and within the year, she did indeed become the king's official mistress. King Louis began to show lessened interest and affection in Montespan in 1673, and when this happened, she once again sought the services of La Voisin. So this time, La Voisin arranged a series of black masses to perform with Montespan, and she also provided Montespan with an aphrodisiac, with which the madam did in fact drug the king. In 1677, Montespan told King Louis XIV that if he abandoned her, she would have him killed. In 1679, King Louis began a relationship with a woman named Angélique de Fontaine. So once again, Montespan sought the services of La Voisin. This time, Montespan was intent on making good on her threat to King Louis XIV. She wanted him dead. Initially, La Voisin was reluctant to help Montespan with her plan, but eventually she did agree to help. At the house of Catherine Trianon, a colleague of La Voisin, she conspired with Trianon and other fellow poisoners. They were devising a plan to murder King Louis XIV of France. Trianon honestly wanted no part of it. She tried to change La Voisin's mind by giving her a dreadful fortune. Apparently, however, La Voisin did not buy into this fortune, and she went ahead with her plan anyways. The group decided that they would murder the king by delivering a poisoned petition to him. So on March 5th, 1679, La Voisin visited the royal court in Saint-Germain to deliver the poisoned petition herself. Her plan ended up falling through because there were too many petitioners, and the king did not actually see her to take her petition. Realizing that if the petition was found by anyone, she and her group of colleagues would be found out and likely imprisoned and executed. So she gave the petition to her daughter Marguerite and asked her to burn it, which she did. The next day, she arranged the next meeting, and at this meeting, they would have to form another plan to murder the King of France. 2 years before Lavoisin had tried to take this petition to the king, another fortune teller named Magdalene de Lagrange was arrested for poisoning. She claimed to have knowledge of crimes that would also be of interest to authorities. In 1679, just 2 months before Lavoisin attempted to deliver a poisoned petition to the King of France, Marie Bosse and Marie Vigoureux were arrested, and they revealed that there was actually a vast network of commissioned poisoners in the city of Paris. On March 12, 1679, just 1 week after she attempted to deliver the poisoned petition to the king, she was on her way to the next meeting that she had arranged, where they would devise their new plan. On her way to this meeting, Lavoisin was arrested. Months later, on December 27, 1679, King Louis XIV issued an order stating that the entire network of poisoners in Paris was to be exterminated immediately. After Lavoisin's arrest, many of her colleagues were arrested as well, including her own daughter, Marguerite. She had admitted later on in 1679 that she had sold magical services and poisons to several members of the royal court in France. On February 17, 1680, Lavoisin was put on trial, and she was in fact convicted of witchcraft. Ultimately, she was sentenced to execution by burning. Catherine Montvoisin was executed on the Place de Grève in Paris on February 22, 1680. It wasn't until after her death that her client list, her participation in black masses, her connection to Madame de Montespan, and her attempted murder of King Louis XIV were revealed. It was actually her daughter who confessed all of this information to authorities, and former associates confirmed Marguerite's story. Although the exact number of Lavoisin's victims has never been confirmed, there are at least 1,000 confirmed victims of her poisons, and it's suspected that she had upwards of 2,500 victims in total. And that was episode 2 of season 2. I hope you all enjoyed. It was a little bit nerve-wracking because I'm used to having a full script laid out in front of me. So I hope this wasn't too clumsy and too jumbled, because I'm not used to reading just directly from my notes. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at CrimeAgainPod, and I'm also on Instagram at CrimeAgainPodcast. I also have a Facebook page, and that is just Crime and Crime Again Podcast. If you are enjoying the show and would like to show support, I am on Buy Me a Coffee, and you can make a one-time donation there that is less than the price of one cup of coffee. The link to that will be in the show notes. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, please do leave a rating and a review. It really, really helps out the show. And if you don't listen on Apple Podcasts and you have a different device, such as an Android, you can leave a rating and a review on podchaser.com. You can just search Podchaser for Crime and Crime Again, or I will leave the link to that in the show notes as well. Thank you so much for listening, and stay tuned for more stories of the crimes of centuries past.
Four juicy Raising Cane's chicken fingers, Texas toast, fries, coleslaw, and the secret cane sauce that makes the perfect box combo. One love, ready to go.
Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.